The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
January is a month when people are very enthusiastic with their New Year resolutions, in particular about fitness. But how many give it up because they're injured by the end of January? And can you avoid injury? Well, joining me now is Jenny Brannigan, Chartered Physio at Total Physio Sandyford. Jenny, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Hope you're well.
I am very well. Is there a high rate of attrition by the end of January? People doing the wrong thing, overdoing it, and then banjaxing themselves?
We see this every single year, Pat, and this year is no different, even with the lockdown. We just see that people get great bursts of enthusiasm come January. They think about a new year. They think about the things that they want to achieve in a new year. And for many people, it's fitness and trying to get more active and trying to lose that little bit of a bulge over Christmas, and particularly this notion of the COVID stone from 2020. So, yes, we start the year generally very enthusiastic with great plans. But often by the end of January, we just find that people are developing niggles. And that can often put people off so that they actually then become inactive for the rest of the year, such that they don't start to think about this again until the following year again.
Now, this thing about stretching, the conventional wisdom is you stretch before exercise. But I know from my daughter, who runs a lot, that it's better to warm up a little bit before you stretch.
The way that you need to think about that is that you're preparing your body for what you're about to do. So if you're somebody who is in a sitting job, a sedentary based job, and you're not moving much during the day, and then you suddenly go out and you try and run without preparing your body for that run, that's where we start to see people where their joints are a little bit stiff or their muscles mightn't be as flexible from sitting all day. And if they do that without preparing their body, that's where they can start to see the niggles. So people get put off by the notion of a warm up. But in actual fact, what you're doing is you're preparing your body for that activity. And I think people need to reframe how they look at that.
Yeah, because if you just stand up from your desk and start trying to tip your toes and all the rest, you're likely to do yourself a little bit of harm.
Yeah, you need to ease your way into it. And we all know, like, particularly in the morning time when we haven't been moving during the night, you do often feel a little bit stiffer in the morning. And once you do a few movements, then you feel better straight away. So you need to approach it in the same way. If you've been sitting at your desk, and hopefully now people have been learning about movement breaks and movement snacks, and they've been getting out walking as we've all been working from home more and more in 2020. So hopefully people are more au fait with that. But we're still in general seeing that people are not replicating their commutes. They're not going out for those coffees and those walks and those lunches that they would have previously been doing. So they have to build that into their day. Yeah. And if they're not doing that, again, they need to be making sure that they plan for that when they're going out for their run or when they're going out for their cycle, that they just bridge that gap and prepare the body for that activity.
Now, loads of questions for you, Jenny. Emer and Mullingar. I'm a regular walker, and even though I don't have any aches while walking, at night my knees have started to throb and it keeps me awake. Should I be concerned?
So, Emer, this would be a common enough issue. So it's great that you're not feeling anything while you're walking. But what it does suggest is that if they're starting to throb after the walk, it would indicate that you're not quite strong enough for the mileage that you're doing. Now, I don't think you've indicated how far you're walking each time. But again, if you suddenly go from doing no walking to suddenly trying to do 5 or 6 or 10K of a walk, your body has to catch up with that and it has to adapt to the change that you're trying to make. So you need to be sure that you're strong in your legs. You need to make sure that your buttock muscles are strong. So movements like squatting, lunging, going up and down on your toes, lifting your heels off the floor will help to strengthen your legs. But that's usually not a big problem at all. It's usually just a sign that your body needs to get stronger to match the activity you're trying to do.
This one, any advice on tennis elbow caused by taking 3 energetic dogs running, 3 leads in one hand? I've since got a better system going, but it's still painful after a year. Any bit of gardening irritates it, lifting heavy things like kayaks, doing push-ups. Any suggestions to help the tennis elbow?
Yes, definitely. So what you need to think about there, the common thread through that is that pain is happening when you're gripping the lead for your dogs and you're also gripping the tools for when you're gardening. So the gripping action is the issue there. So if you haven't got the strength in your forearm muscles, so we call those muscles the forearm extensors, the ones that lift your wrist up. And when you're gripping tight on something that's small, so maybe like a spade, or again, when you're gripping your lead on your for your dogs, what's happening is you're over gripping, and where the tendon attaches the muscle to the bone up in the elbow, you're getting a degenerative process that's starting there. Now, don't worry about the word degenerative there. That's quite normal. But what we need to do to solve that is we need to get you gripping a larger surface. So you need to put a handle, sort of a, if you think about a hurl and you can get these actual wraps that increase the size of the handle, you need to get something like that to go around your gardening tools. You also need to look at the system of your lead and make sure that you're gripping something that's larger in your hand, and that will take the strain off your tendons. You also need to probably look at the strength around your shoulder and your shoulder blade muscles, and your chartered physiotherapist can certainly help you with that. But the gripping of something very small is the big problem there.
I've just started walking for an hour in the morning, but I've started to experience shin splints. Any insights as to how I can treat or and or avoid?
Yes. So there's a few things to look at there. So basically, when you're looking at shin splints, it's an umbrella term. So it indicates either pain in the muscles that attach to the inside of your shin bone. It could indicate that the muscle compartment is a little bit tight, and as you exercise and the blood increases into that muscle compartment, that you're getting a bit of pain as a result. Or thirdly, it could indicate stress on the shin bone itself. So the first thing to figure out is which of those things is the issue. Now, we would also look at what type of shoes are you wearing? Are you out there in a pair of shoes that's not giving you sufficient support for the arches of your feet? Or if your arches are very high, you might be getting increased shock up through the leg, in which case we need a more cushioned shoe for you. Again, you need to think about the surface that you're on. If you're always walking on concrete, it's a harder shock up through your leg that your body has to cope with. Whereas if you were to try it on grass, you might find that that reduces the pain in your shin. It's not a serious problem, but if you plan to increase your mileage, you certainly should get it looked at so that we'd be able to advise you and make sure that whatever is causing the problem in your case, we can address that. Again, you might also need to look at the strength in your body higher up. So the strength in the leg muscles and the buttock muscles in particular.
I have a frozen shoulder that pains to the left above my head, afraid to get medical help with COVID, trying not to take constant pain medication. Any tips for movement? Nighttime is the worst.
Okay, so this is a common thing that we see. And again, when we think about a frozen shoulder, what we need to consider is that the joint is just not moving as it normally should. And it doesn't move as it normally should because of pain sometimes, and sometimes because of just stiffness. So what we need to do is try and coax that movement back into the area. We also need to consider that obviously in these times, many people aren't happy to be face to face with their physio. So certainly ring your local chartered physio and see if they're offering an online service. Because you can still have an assessment online. They can look at how you're moving and give you work to do to try and improve that. But what we would look at certainly is how much movement you have in your shoulder and how we can help you improve that by loosening out maybe your thoracic spine, which is your upper spine. And that can become an area that gets a bit sore and tight to compensate for the shoulder not moving as smoothly as it should. But I would certainly get advice on this, particularly if it's waking you during the night. Because when you get tired, you'll notice that you won't cope with the pain quite as well, and that will make it harder overall. So it's definitely an important one. Ring your local chartered physio and see will they see you online.
I suffer with lower back pain only during the night. I wake up in pain in the morning for the first hour, then I'm grand. I've a very good mattress. So any suggestions? This has been going on for a year now.
If you're waking during the night with pain, that's always something to get investigated. So if you have to get out of bed during the night and move around such that you can get back in and then go back to sleep, that's definitely something that you need to make contact with your chartered physiotherapist about, or even your GP. Now, the pain in the morning, again, we see that commonly enough with people. And sometimes people have stiffness in their back such that they can't have a lie in and they find that they're just uncomfortable. They have to get up. If you're stiff in the morning, the most important thing is to look at your activity levels during the day and see how much general movement you're getting. And if you're not getting much, you need to start to increase that. And it doesn't have to be anything too dramatic. We're just talking about basic bending forwards, bending backwards, going from side to side, thinking about the natural movements that your body likes to do. If you want specific guidance, again, your chartered physio can do that with you. But moving and stretching, even lying in the bed, bringing your knees up to your chest, letting the two knees bend up and then move from side to side. If you did that first thing before you even got out of the bed, that in itself can sometimes be enough even to reduce that stiffness. And if you look at that hour of stiffness first thing, we'd be aiming to reduce that so that maybe in a week or two, you might find that you're only stiff for 30 minutes. And in a month or 6 weeks, you might be down to the point where you're not really feeling stiff at all. But if it's stiff, you have to move it.
This one from Sean. I have an ongoing ankle lower calf problem since the Dublin Marathon of 2019. I've been to several physios, given various drills with no success. The pain limits how far I can bring my toes towards my shin. It's very directly targeted when I go into a squat position. It's really hampering my ability to run ever since. From Sean.
Well, Sean, that's a long time to be dealing with anything. And particularly if you've seen a few people about it and nothing is changing, what I would recommend is to investigate it further, maybe with an X-ray. There might be something in your ankle joint itself that's causing a problem there, particularly if you're getting blocked when you try to do your squat. If the pain is limited, sorry, if the movement, I should say, is limited when you're pulling your toes up to your shin, again, there might be something at the front of your ankle. Maybe if you played a lot of football, you know, previously, you could have something along where the lower part of your shin is meeting into your ankle bone. Again, that's something that we'd need to assess further. But with anything that's going on for a long time and you've tried a few sessions of physio, even with different physios, to no avail, absolutely, I would get that investigated and speak to your GP about a referral for an X-ray or an MRI.
A very painful Achilles tendon for the last 12 months while jogging. Any ideas what would be the best treatment for same? From Gary in Mallow.
Yes, Gary, absolutely. Now, again, 12 months is a long time to be going on with this. But what we need to think about is the Achilles tendon is a weight-bearing tendon. We've got five calf muscles and two of those calf muscles join together to form your Achilles. And every time you stand or walk or run, your Achilles is active. So if it's been painful for a long time and you're continuing to jog through that, what's happening is other areas of your body are having to compensate and you're not able to take that force through the Achilles. So if you came into me, the first thing I'd be looking at is what is your Achilles like? Has it thickened compared to the other side, which would indicate that you're forcing too much load through it? How strong are your calf muscles compared to the other side? How strong are the muscles in your buttocks compared to the other side? And again, we'd have a look at the surface that you're running on. We'd look at the runners that you're training in and the positioning, the alignment of your feet. There are lots of different factors here. But often we'll find that people will try and run through these type of injuries and the tendon just can't cope with it. So I think from your point of view, we need to get back to basics and see what are the factors here that are really causing the issue and then the proper steps to take to address each of those.
All right. Well, look, Jenny, we have literally 100 or more questions for you and we don't have the time to do them all today. So I hope you can come back to us really soon because January is the time when most people are complaining about these. But even as you pointed out, so many people suffering for far too long with something that might be treatable with their local chartered physio. So I don't know when you're available to come back, but you'll be welcome back as soon as you are free. So there you are. Jenny, thank you very much. Jenny Brannigan, chartered physio at Total Physio in Sandyford. And of course, as she pointed out, many of the physios are actually in action doing remote consultations and they can help you. They can look at you online and see what shape you're in and deal with you accordingly.